Some experts in municipal law have raised questions whether the Bloomington City Council move to strip the mayor's power to put items on the agenda is legal. Lori Riverstone Newell is a professor of politics and government at Illinois State University. She tells GLT's Charlie Schlenker that the first city manager form of government appeared in Virginia in 1908 as part of the urban reform movement. Riverstone Newell says the move toward a city manager form of government was part of a larger progressive movement of the time.
The idea behind that was to have a very, very weak mayor and an empowered council that would be both legislative and political, with a city manager then hired and serving at the pleasure of the council. And so the weak mayor part of that was just to provide a figurehead for the city. And most of the time, the mayor would just be rotated, you know, on an annual basis out of those council members. We had just left a really corrupt period of time in our cities in America where we had machines running our cities, and there was very little accountability. There was very little control over cost of service provision. And what we were trying to do in the reform movement was to come up with a way to correct for this, too.
And over time, the variations on the theme arose. How did those come to be?
Yeah, the first attempt was that city, that council manager system. And the idea was to not have one strong central figure. And during the machine era, it was the machine boss that was the strong central figure. So if we took the powers of the city and we diluted that across several people, the idea then was that we wouldn't be able to see the level of corruption. They would check one another. And that council manager system worked. It did. It introduced, you know, business style government, and efficiencies followed with lower costs for services and with a more directed agenda. And so that was great. There's a interesting little transition over time where you see the reemergence of strong mayors, though. We got used to the idea of, or maybe we lost our fear of, a strong central figure or authority in the executive position following the Great Depression. FDR came in, and he was seen as someone who really saved the cities, someone who was working directly with cities. And we saw that a strong central government, but also a strong central figure in the executive office, could be a good thing. And so around the 1950s, we saw strong mayors coming back into vogue. What's really interesting about that is that, you know, while some strong mayors had survived through the urban reform movement, there's an academic, his name is George Frederickson, and he says that somewhere also around the 1950s, we saw a very slow, quiet adaptation of our city governments, where we had corrected for a lot of the inefficiencies and corruption in the early period, early 1900s, with that city manager position. But around the 1950s and 60s, we also needed a political figurehead, someone who could unite the city and someone who could bring a cohesive agenda to the table. And that caused us to turn toward bringing in mayors and giving them more power, even in a system that already had a city manager. You know, someone to be able to manage equity issues and to be able to drive economic development in a cohesive and manner. And, you know, people want that. They want the political representation and they want that administrative efficiency at the same time. And that's why we have, on paper, a system that looks very different from what we have in reality. State law only allows for certain types of structure of local governments. You have to pick. And you can pick a strong mayor council style. You can pick a commission style. Only 1% of our cities do that. And you could also pick, you know, a council manager style. And if you have to check one box, then you're going to pick, you know, maybe a council manager style. But in truth, you'll also be electing a mayor. There's a reason for this. This shift happened because we want oversight. We want transparency. We want accountability. We want administrative efficiency. We want all of these things, and you can't find them in these really rigid structures as they are written on paper. So what did we want when we moved more toward a strong mayor style of government, when we started bringing that back in? We wanted someone to speak for all of us. We wanted to make sure that equity was being addressed. And that's really hard to do in a pure ward style or council manager style government. because you're not going to have, one council member may represent a very poor part of town, for instance, or the city, and that's one vote. Who can, if not the mayor, come back in and say, we have to look at this? I think we as a people very smartly began to call upon our governments to do more for us in various ways that aren't reflected necessarily on paper.
Alderman David Sage, who made the proposal to keep the mayor from placing items on the agenda, has not answered GLT's request for comment. The proposal could return to council attention on December 11th. This is Sound Ideas on GLT and WGLT.org, Bloomington Normal's public media.